The podcast put together with Red Raider fans in mind. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Hi, how are you? Good afternoon. Happy Monday. It's Tech Talk on Double T 97.3 and Double T 97.3.com with Dr. Mike Gustafson and Clint Scott. I'm Aaron Dickens. We're joining you today until 6 o'clock. We'll have Red Raider basketball with Mark Adams coming up at that time, followed at 7 by the Dallas Cowboys in the NFL playoffs as they take on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in Tampa Bay. High school fans on yours at 6 o'clock on 100.7 The Score. Red Raiders now 0-5 on the hardwood after dropping a game to Texas. On Saturday, it was the debut, the much-anticipated debut of Fardaz Amak, who I think, you know, Gus, it probably would have been fair to assume that on his, you know, his first game action of the season after just practicing one time last week, as far as we know, that he would be on some kind of minute restriction. But he played 29 minutes and looked pretty good, and we'll see what he has in store for the Baylor Bears on Tuesday when the Red Raiders take on the Bears.
Yeah, it's a different looking team with them out there. You know, it was interesting, and I'm like you. I mean, I had no idea if he was going to play the other night, but he carried a pretty good load. And but just the video clips we'd seen of him were just, for me at least, were just snippets here and there, and it was him, you know, at his previous schools,
right?
And, you know, hadn't really seen anything extended, and so just seeing him run around down there, like,
he exists.
Yeah, like, yeah, and just and of course I'd seen him on the sidelines and all that stuff, but, you know, kind of a more barrel-chested, bigger presence than I thought he would be. I was for whatever reason in the video clips, I was expecting a little bit lankier and leaner, like Bacho. And obviously those two on the floor overlapped for a good bit, but Bacho was immediately in foul trouble and never really got out of it. It felt like he was, you know, it felt like he was chasing that deal and guarding it, and then, you know, all of that sort of thing. And so they did get him on the floor for a decent amount of time, but it felt like it never really got cut loose. But, you know, I told you the other day, I said if there's a sense of optimism left for this team, it was going to be surrounding the return of Amak, you know, like, because it was hard to say, well, the existing cast is just going to keep getting better and then they're going to start winning games. It was hard for me to just look at it that way, but with Amak there, I mean, I'm really intrigued to see how tomorrow night goes. I mean, we've got plenty of time to talk about tomorrow night against Baylor here. It feels like yet another game that you go, I mean, you got to win that one. You know, like, I mean, if there's any math to get to seven wins, seven more wins from this point right here, again, you start circling home games, going, you can't drop any. The good news is you already played Kansas at home. Bad news is you lost to Oklahoma, and they're maybe not the worst team in the league, well, but they're down there.
And the bad news is you've already lost to Kansas at home.
Right.
Because that's top
monster
shelf
win
resume
you
opportunity, yep, that – you know, is in the rearview mirror and you will never have again.
And it puts the onus on beating Texas and beating, you know, start to circle some of those games. Like, they're going to have some of those, but they're also just going to have to get some wins, because the sad part is a comment you and I made before Christmas remains true a month later, and that is their next win will be their biggest win by NCAA tournament standards, quad one, quad two, that sort of thing. And so it's
or even just by eye test.
Yeah,
that's like true. You don't even need to like pull up the spreadsheet. I mean, because we've seen all these games, we've seen all these opponents.
Yeah,
we've seen how terrible Georgetown remains.
Louisville, the disaster.
No, yeah, they're 4-5-14, and they're, you think 0-5 is bad in the Big 12? Georgetown's 0-8.
Oof.
0-8. And Louisville, not much better.
Well, I'm hopeful that Amak's addition to the floor puts better minutes on the floor and takes away some of the weaker minutes. Whoever that was, we don't need to go, I get so-and-so off the floor, but maybe somebody that was running around getting 10, 12 minutes is now only getting 4 minutes. however you want to piece that all together, and hopefully there's some addition. I don't think hopefully. I know there's some addition there. Is it enough to get the 7 or 8 more wins and get in the tournament? That's a long shot, but we'll see. But it was, I don't even like the thought of consolation victories because there was no consolation there. But coming off of a 34-point loss, I guess there was, some things to be excited about. But I sure hated to whiz away a 10-point lead, 10-12-point lead, I guess, especially knowing that that's already happened against TCU earlier this year. And I mean,
happened against Georgetown. I mean, the list goes on and on. This team does not
– no.
It can't really sustain success.
40 minutes, yeah. And we got it. There's probably in baseball, we talk a lot about home-road splits. Some guys hit really well on the road. Some guys hit really well at home, pitch, this and that. We got a couple of guys that don't – let's just say haven't put up good numbers on the road or away from this arena, because we got three – well, I actually got technically, what, 4 neutral site games, the 3 in Maui and then that 1 in Houston. But, yeah, it's we need – I mean, it's the talk of a team that's not having the sort of success you want when you're going, well, we're just a tick away, and you find yourself saying that in mid-January. But there's, AMAC does change the math around this team. Does he change it enough? We shall find out. But, boy, tomorrow night's game looms big if you're trying to find the first of 8 wins somewhere.
Pop Isaac remains the really lone bright spot, consistent bright spot. Mm-hmm. On this basketball team and this basketball program, 23 points, led all scorers on Saturday, 7 of 19 from the field. Now, he had 5 of the team's 8 three-point makes, perfect from the free throw line, the only player on your team that was perfect from the free throw line, 3 assists, and just the 1 turnover, right? Like, that's, if you're looking for reasons to be optimistic about the future of this program, and sometimes you have to look really, really hard in the midst of this 0-5 start to Big 12 play, Pop Isaac is a legitimate, bona fide reason to be optimistic because he's good.
Yeah.
Right? Let's not forget how turnover-prone he was at the beginning of the season, and for him to go on the road as a true freshman in just his 5th Big 12 game and just turn it over at 1 time in 35 minutes against the top 10 team, that's impressive.
Yeah, against a team that's long and old and defensive minded and all those things. Yeah, I really good effort. I thought I don't say that like I thought. Period. Jalen Tyson had a really good effort. What, 13, 14 rebounds? But that's the sort of thing that he's really a freshman, but doing this his first time, but obviously was on the sidelines at this time last year, and so I guess we want to treat him as a little bit older player. But he's need him and O'Banner to line up. It'd be great if we get both those guys stringing together back-to-back appearances and playing well night in, night out. Because it feels like lately it's been like you got a 2-on, 1-off, 1-on, 2-off type thing between him and a couple other guys.
More Tech Talk next.
It's every Red Raiders favorite podcast. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Hey, it's the Juice. On Double T 97.3 and Double T 97.3.com with Gus and Clint. I'm Aaron. Time for some headlines. We will have Red Raider basketball with Mark Adams tonight, 6 o'clock on Double T 97.3. As the Red Raiders look to bounce back from their 0-5 start in Big 12 play, they'll take on Baylor in Lubbock tomorrow, tip off at 7. We'll have it for you here on Double T 97.3. The women's basketball team, though. Huh?
Yeah, 8 o'clock tip.
Oh, 7 o'clock coverage.
Excuse me.
Women's basketball team, 2-3 in the Big 12 after a romp over Kansas State over the weekend. 85-65. Nice win for the Lady Raiders. Back in action at home on Wednesday hosting the Texas Longhorns. How about this story from Alabama? Men's basketball player Darius Miles and another man have been charged with capital murder in connection with a Sunday morning shooting near campus that killed a 23-year-old woman. Miles, it was announced on Saturday, would miss the rest of the season with an ankle injury. He has since been dismissed from the program and the university. He played in just 6 games this season. A couple of AP poll notes. On the men's side, Houston is on top, number 1 of the country. Kansas is number 2. They received 23 first-place votes to the Jayhawks. Texas, number 7. Iowa State, number 12. Kansas State, number 13. TCU, number 14. Baylor, 21st in the country. And speaking of Baylor, on the women's side, the women's basketball team at Baylor has dropped out of the AP Top 25 for the first time since 2004. How about that? They had been ranked for 365 consecutive polls before falling out today after losing twice last week. You too can join the program. Would love to hear from you on the Yates Flooring Center chat line at TT973.com. We get this from someone on the chat line. I'm squinting my eyes very hard, but I just don't see the light.
I don't
blame you, man.
Sure. I hope there's, like I said, if there was anything to point to as, hey, this could happen that would get this team better rather than just the, you know, a normal path of growth and development and experience. The problem is if you base your success on, hey, man, our guys are getting a little bit older and a little bit better every week, well, wouldn't it make sense that everybody else's are too? I mean, unless you've got something that allows your development to happen at a quicker rate than someone else's. But I don't think anyone else has had an addition to their lineup on January 13th.
I mean, here's
like Fardal Zamek.
Here's the hang up with, I think, unrealistically expecting Amac to be kind of this change maker that kind of puts you on this path to 500 in the Big 12 or thereabouts. That's assuming that you don't miss any other games due to injury of your really top 6 guys. Because you really only played 6 people on Saturday, right?
Which is just
Denny got a minute. Washington got 9. And
Damari
Williams had 4.
Yeah. Like Walton, 2-minute runs.
Nothing.
And what you I'm with you on what you're about to say. And it's a little disconcerting that you get Amac back. And all it does is just shove dudes to the bench. Like, and I don't mean like, hey, it took a few minutes away from some of the young guys. Probably not the worst thing, because we saw what life would be with a bunch of those dudes on the court for a long time against OU. But it just erased some guys, which tells you part of the problem.
Can't
this
play.
Year. Yeah.
Can't play. And so that means, hey, no sprained ankles, no tweaked knees. No illnesses, no flu.
No AMAC setback.
Right, yeah, no doubt. Nothing. Because
I'm with you. That margin is thin. I'm just looking for anything that I can cling to as a desperate Tech fan.
How about this, man? I looked this up on Saturday because I was astounded. And this isn't a good way. I was impressed. I was stoked.
Mm-hmm.
I was geeked. I was happy that AMAC played 29 minutes, right?
Because,
after one practice, I was thinking maybe 15 tops.
Yeah.
Minute restriction. He played 29 minutes. You know how many minutes Curran Walton's played in Big 12 play?
Oh, not 29.
27. Golly. And again, I don't want it to sound like I'm picking on him, right? He did not choose to, he did not force Tech to offer him a scholarship or, NIL stuff, et cetera. I would have done the exact same thing were I him. So this is not directed at him. The fault is in the coaching staff. But 27 minutes in 5 Big 12 games. And Damari Williams, not that much better, 32. So Fardaw's AMAC in his first game, period, this year, after one practice this season, goes out, plays 29 minutes, which is more than Kerwin Walton, arguably your second most prized offseason transfer portal addition, and almost as much. I mean, heck, if he would have gone overtime, he would have outpaced Williams.
Yep. There's no – the deeper into the season we get, the less the less sort of consolation there is for that just miss. I mean, and it's even hard. I mean, it's really none of our business and not even something that we should factor in the rumors about what the NIL money is to those guys, because it's really not that important, but it's there.
I think it's important in this way. It shows their priority.
Sure.
The coaching staff. Like, hey, we think this person is worth this much.
We gotta produce at that level.
Yes. Yeah, it raises an eyebrow. Sorry, I cut you off.
No, you're reading my mind exactly. And just if you take all the NIL rumors out of it and just go player by player, it's just disconcerting that there's a couple guys that have just had pretty much a clear lane to more playing time. And even a clear lane, with games that were on the line with Eastern Washington, a chance to hit a big shot or make a big play or do some things there that just never panned out. It's like, man, when those guys were at it, it was definitely more. Again, take the NIL and set it to the side. They were definitely needing more out of these dudes than what they're getting, And these are veteran, one from a blue blood school and another guy from a mid-major that scored a bunch of points and just have really turned out to not be productive at all. And, I know what it feels like to be the bad player on a team that's underperforming, believe me, sophomore year. I understand it. And so I feel like I have as much compassion as anybody. There's no NIL money back then, none of that creeping around, but just – so I get it, but just to see those dudes just not factor in, and it's like that, it's hard to look at any of the, just however you want to rationalize this team or view it or be optimistic about it or remain optimistic or negative, however you want to feel about it. It's just hard not to look at those two guys and go, man, those are two of the four key, were supposed to be
important
answers.
Yeah.
Yeah, that were supposed to be answers and key contributors, and there's our shooter, and there's our length, and there's our this, and there's our that. And it's like, oof. I mean, those cats are buried down at the end of the bench and just doing zero.
We get this in the Yates Flooring Center chat line. Oh, gosh, we lost to a top 10 team on the road by 2 points. There's absolutely no hope. Bunch of pink Raiders on this broadcast. Yeah, I guess the last 5 years were just a complete figment of my imagination.
There's
right where you kind of go into these games expecting to win, let alone expecting to be way better than 0-5 in Big 12 play.
There's really nothing better than that text message the day after a game. There really is nothing better. Like, I'm sitting here just trying to talk myself into all the ways this thing could be right. You're a pink Raider. Okay, thanks. Yeah. Got it. You know me well.
I mean, this is the same kind of text that, 2 months from now when you're 3-15 in Big 12 play, for example, hey, down years happen to everybody. Right? Just constant excuse making and rationalization. You played for a national championship. Right, you shouldn't be trying to console yourself or rationalize yourself why 0-5 is okay. It's not. More Tech Talk next.
The podcast put together with Red Raider fans in mind. This is the Tech Talk podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Hey there, it's Tech Talk on Double T 97.3 and Double T 97.3.com with Dr. Mike Gustafson and Clint Scott. I'm Aaron Dickens. We're joining you today until 6 o'clock. We would love to hear your thoughts and your comments on the Yates Flooring Center chat line at Double T 97.3.com. All guests appear via the Benchmark hotline. which you can reach 806-771-0973. Somebody says this in the chat line. You don't hear Kansas saying mediocre is, quote, just a down year. If you don't want to be a blue blood, keep telling yourself mediocrity is okay. Somebody argues a bit with something that I had mentioned. Davion Harmon was your second best portal pickup. I'm curious if Walton is receiving more NIL money than Harmon. Somebody has this on the chat line. Did they hire the right guy to coach this basketball team? I guess jury's out. This on the chat line. Tech's success in recent history, has been directly related to having a deep bench of quality players where there was no real drop-off from one sub to the next, 8 to 9 players deep. You know, this struck me on the way in, Gus, as I was fighting the brutal afternoon traffic here in our fine city. You know, like 4 or 5 years ago, when a program, and this goes for football or, you know, baseball, basketball, whatever, maybe even golf and tennis. When a program is struggling early on in a coach's tenure, a common refrain, fair or unfair, was, hey, just wait until he or she gets their players in. Right? Wait until they get their recruits in that fit their system, that fit their philosophy. And then, and only then, can you really judge whether or not, you know, that they should move on or stay on. That's not really the case anymore, right? Like, you're not... The transfer portal allows for the immediate addition of, air quotes, your players.
Yeah.
And this is doubly true in basketball, where you don't need 2 or 3 years to develop lineman types.
Yeah. Yep. I think is Iowa State the good evidence? And believe me, an older basketball team that's played together for 2 or 3 years is probably the dream scenario. But what you're saying is that's not necessary. And I think Iowa State might be the example to that, right?
You can also say Kansas State right now, too.
There you go. A lot of transfer portals, a lot of portal guys, and a lot of older dudes. You know, guys they landed on in terms of their evaluation and getting them in and getting real contributions from them.
I mean, Iowa State went, 21-13 last year, 22-13, excuse me. They were 7-11 in the Big 12. They made it to the Sweet 16. They lost to Miami. Lost their best player in the portal. Now plays at Texas.
Yeah, that's,
and they're better this year.
Right, that's really is the best part of both ends of that from Iowa State, that they lost a player of that caliber and that they nailed all of those portal guys and are as successful as they are. Do I think they're a Final Four team? I doubt it, but they're having the sort of success and winning in the way that we have the last few years. With really a formula very similar to the way last year's Tech team was put together. Older dudes, bigger dudes, tough defensive, get enough offense to win. Tough defensively and get enough offense to win.
This on the chat line. All I'm saying is that if AMAC had played, played the other 4 games, bet we would have gotten 2 or 3 wins at least in Big 12 so far. I thought AD would appreciate the Pink Raider. One of his sarcastic terms of endearment. Somebody else says this in the chat line. I was glad and excited to see Fardaws on the court like anyone, but down the stretch he could have hurt Tech more than he helped with all of those minutes, because those could have gone to players that have been playing all season like Washington or Jennings, because there were like 3 passes he got inside and just lost the ball from dribbling on 2 of them and stolen on the other. Even the announcers on TV were saying that Tech was dribbling too much around the basket. Yeah, what are you eating there, Clint? Is that soup? Is it stew?
It's leftover jambalaya.
Good Lord. Never would have guessed that. I certainly wouldn't have said and jambalaya. I played the perfect game, nor would I have said jambalaya, but it just like there's
issue with jambalaya.
Can you imagine that
it's a
game?
Good Hank Williams song.
Let's replay that game the other night and put Bacho in foul trouble and take AMAC out, and then you know, it's what the OU
what you
game
saw in Ames.
Yeah, right. I mean, that's yeah, and so I'm not. I mean, I was the guy leading the charge for, man, this dude's going to be rusty. Control your expectations. And about 15 minutes in, I'm like, score 25. Carry us, big guy. So I had my AMAC pom-poms on. And don't ask me where I got AMAC pom-poms, but I found something and made them into AMAC pom-poms. Man, there's nothing better than watching Big Red over there just slurp jambalaya. I mean, does this camera have like a button that you can flip like
I'm
FaceTime?
Curious, like, where was this purchased? Did you get it at a restaurant? Was it made at home?
It is a Tony's boxed jambalaya.
Okay.
But I can make a homemade jambalaya.
Well, I'm sure you can. I don't know that would be edible, but.
Oh, no. If you like Cajun food.
Nothing screams stuff. Cajun food
than a pasty
like
white
big ginger from Kansas. Yeah, there's no.
You're dang right.
There's no.
You're dang
with
right.
The pirate beard.
We'll do a fish fry sometime.
That's
and
okay.
Friday fish fry.
And just bring it in like we did sody, and what did we do? Soda and what we had?
You have to call it sody now.
Sody.
Yeah.
Off-brand sodies on Friday.
Sodies. That's right. I need some. When I was a kid, when we first moved to Lubbock, Safeway, 66th in Indiana, which is now KK Mall or whatever that thing is. It used to be Safeway. That used to be like the farthest south.
The frontier.
Grocery store. We lived at 90th in Memphis, and that was, but anyway, that Safeway, their store brand was called Cragmont. And whenever I hear about off-brand sodas, I'm thinking, the old Cragmont Cola. This cola. Yes.
Did you know, speaking of...
Ours was Big K.
Oh, nice.
Speaking of off-brands and just kind of weird labels, did you realize, I didn't know this until recently, and granted, I was not born when this first started, so I'm going to cut myself some slack, but there's really no such thing as Corinthian leather. It was just made up. It's a marketing term.
It's like, I did not know that, and that's interesting, and that's like the frozen tundra of Lambeau Field. You know who never said that? The guy that they're imitating.
Yeah.
You know, they're imitating John Facenda. John Facenda never said that, but it's Berman saying it. And it's like, oh, that's perfect. Just like rich Corinthian leather.
Yeah,
like,
Chrysler was trying to gin up some sales for its for some sedan or something. And so we got these leather seats. Let's call them Corinthian leather.
Ooh.
Yeah, I heard it was up between that or Thessalonians leather, and they went Corinthian.
Yeah, that's a good move.
Is that a Bible joke?
Who went to?
Yeah, it was.
Who went to?
Where'd you get Thessalonians from? Like, is that like your favorite or?
I just like the word.
Okay.
First and second. I don't know which one I like better.
Say it like a former president said it. Corinthians 1. My favorite is Corinthians 2. Hey, I heard over the weekend Sierra Mist going away.
R.I.P. Yeah.
How about that? Sierra Mist. I don't really. You know, not really a go-to.
I don't know that I would ever get that.
Only when I'm doing a suicide.
Oh, sure.
That Coke,
you think that
Pepsi,
would get,
Mountain Dew, Sierra
Mist. You think
that
would get demonetized on YouTube if you did a YouTube video on the suicide soda thing? Because I think that's one of those code words where, like, so you'd, like, get all kinds of strikes against you.
Oh, for the word suicide?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Sorry. That was my 1980
all
word
YouTube,
for it.
All YouTube revenue that we're going to get is just gone now.
40.
Like, you can't, like, we used to run suicides.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Line drills.
What are they called now?
Line drills.
Oh, wow. That's boring.
That's lame. That doesn't sound, like, intimidating at all.
No.
We get this on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. Driving from Garden City to Colby, Kansas. Last thing this state resembles is Cajun.
Well, my mom was from Louisiana.
Somebody else says this, 100% Clint brings nasty fish to heat up in a workplace. He literally has done that. More Tech Talk next.
The podcast that finishes your workday in a very Red Raider way. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3. Presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Hi there. How you going? Happy Monday. It's Tech Talk on Double T 97.3 and Double T 97.3.com. Whether you are hard at work today or if you're off due to the Martin Luther King holiday, appreciate you listening. Thank you very much. We'd love to hear your thoughts and comments on the EH Flooring Center chat line at Double T 97.3.com. All guests appear via the Benchmark hotline, 806-771-0973. This on the chat line, Corinthian Leather sounded much better with Ricardo Montalban saying it.
Yes.
You know what is notable about him?
Well, Fantasy Island, the original.
Sure.
No, I don't know.
He used to be a professional baseball
wrestler,
player.
Baseball player. Footballer.
Did he?
No.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. He played Khan in Star Trek.
Khan.
Yeah. Sure did. This in the chat line, I grew up going to that Safeway to play video games in the late 70s and early 80s. Me and friends would ride our bikes over to there. I barely remember that cola, Gus.
Yes. That's it, man. Building's still there, I think. I don't know. Stuff's getting torn down left and right.
Somebody says this. My grandfather from East Texas would call it sody water.
Sody.
I like that.
Sody water. My grandfather's call it sody. I'd have to think about that. My own grandmother. But yeah, sody.
My wife and I will joke and call it sody because one of the... We really enjoy...
Got your Clint imitation?
Questionable television.
Oh.
Like, you know, Love After Lockup, for example.
Oh. God.
Which is a great show, by the way. Same with like 90 Day Fiance, stuff like that. Well, one of them is 1,000-pound Sisters.
600-pound Life.
Yeah, that one too.
You don't have it as hard as me.
And
would you clip
and
yourself,
please? The two
please?
Sisters call it Sody. So.
Oh, God.
And I think actually.
Where are they from?
Mrs.
Got to be a Midwestern state, right?
No, it's that's deep what south. I think it's Tennessee, actually.
Oh,
I think it's Tennessee. Yeah. I think that's back on tonight, as a matter of fact.
I'll have to check on that and watch
it. It's one of those shows that I have seen so many clips from that have cracked me up, but I've never actually seen the show.
It's just better this way.
Yeah.
Just hit me with the highlights. God dang. So RIP Sierra Mist.
I was trying to find out if it was coming back on today. This in the chat line, Farlow Zamek is slow-footed. Maybe I'm not used to watching a true big man.
Well,
somebody else says this.
Over, kind of a pretty significant foot injury. So yeah,
true.
You might wait to judge his foot speed till he gets some more game action.
Does anyone remember that Adams was Big 12 Coach of the Year last season, and people are talking BS already? Don't call yourselves a Tech fan then. Somebody else says this. I'm just glad that you guys aren't in charge of the program. I mean, the record would be the same. You know, you'd have just as many Big 12 wins now as you do if we were in charge.
You probably would feel a lot worse about the program. There, much like there are, what, different 8-5s, there's a lot of different 0-5s.
Hey, man, I'm just I would withhold judgment on the all-Tomahawk Jam offense until you see it.
I go to all these games, and I would be mad depressed if Aaron was the head coach.
Come on, guys. Why is no one slapping the floor? What are we doing out there?
Why are we playing? No kidding.
Guys, we're playing the floor
guys,
slap
I just
defense.
Watched this YouTube video on this different defensive scheme, so we're going to put that in right now during this under 8 timeout or whatever.
Somebody give me a whiteboard.
Yeah.
Watch this YouTube video.
Yeah. He hits a bucket.
Crowd around.
Why do we have phones and not iPads? It'd be a whole lot easier for everyone to watch this YouTube video.
All of his algorithms are dropping to little Star Trek memes. No. I need the play.
Yeah.
I need the defense.
Did you guys know he played Khan too?
Yeah, right.
Oh, you need a game plan? Sorry.
You guys ever watch The Last of Us when you get home? You really should.
He hits a bucket, looks up in the stand at his parents. Oh, and then runs back down intense about playing defense. Let's guy dribble by.
You guys think they'll still feed us if we lose?
Do we get snow cones after this?
All right, whose parents brought the Capri Suns?
Sierra Mist. It's good.
This in the Yates Flooring Center chat line. Do y'all think that fans slowly start to not show due to the losing? I hope not. We need that place packed from here on out.
Yeah, I hope not. I hope that there's, I mean, because this is our first game with the students back. I mean, I know the Kansas game had a nice crowd of people, and even OU to a certain extent, you know, that were, that made an effort to get there. And I'm really pointing at the student section because that's the probably the variance here, but hopefully there's, you know, another, like I said, another surge of optimism around Fardaw's playing and folks going, all right, let's make another push, let's get this thing, you know, and hopefully it starts tomorrow night. And he's, you know, because yeah, it'd be great to see that student section spilling into the upper deck like we had it a bunch last year and getting after it. Look, Baylor's not Baylor for the first time in a while. He'd get after their tail, no doubt.
Love to get your thoughts and comments on the Yates Flooring Center chat line at TT973.com. I mean, I think at some point it does begin to affect.
Yeah, sure.
Right? Like, at some point that does happen.
That's why I feel like a win tomorrow is, like, not that 1 in 5 changes the math, but, like, it's a win. First time after school started and the students are back and AMAC's on the floor. And, like, all right, if you're going to rally behind a push, let's do it right now. Let's go.
Yeah.
Fill that barn up. Let's go.
But if you drop it.
Yeah,
tomorrow
be tough, and I'm not basing that on what people should or shouldn't do. I'm just sort of basing it on what I've seen around here in the past. Well, I don't want it to happen.
Yeah, and people can do whatever they want with their money. After all, this is supposed to be entertainment, and there's just not a lot fun about seeing your team lose. And if you don't have faith that your team will win, or reason to think that it will, then yeah. And Baylor, I mean, heck, Baylor is, I mean, just about as desperate as the Red Raiders,
which is another reason
they're 2-3, which is certainly far sight better than 0-5, but it's at the same time far below their expectations.
Yeah, their expectations were to be right there with Kansas and Texas this year.
So like, they probably view this as kind of a game that they can come and take, certainly, to kind of get back on track on their perspective, right? 3-3. So, because I don't know that, I mean, based on what we know right now, I don't know that you just think that losing at Iowa State against TCU and against K-State is like some kind of, you know, black mark on your resume that you'll not be able to wash out, right? And so if they can kind of start stacking those wins, then they'll be okay. Because, I mean, they have a win over Gonzaga in the non-conference. They've got a win over UCLA in the non-conference. They're not starting from scratch, resume-wise, like the old Red Raiders. This in the chat line. Hey, we still have other 0-5 teams coming up, like West Virginia. If you ignore their KenPom, we are basically the same. This on the chat line. How would the strength coach respond to the team on the cheese weenie diet? Well, I mean, you either get in line or you get going. Really how it is.
Would you feel like if you were the head coach, your strength and conditioning coach would be like one of the ones who's jacked and like it's in cold weather and he doesn't have a shirt on for some reason. He's hitting like players' helmets and stuff on the sideline. Like you'd have one of those crazy guys.
You think so?
Yeah.
You think he would? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I think he would have a strength and conditioning coach like that his staff.
Head button dudes wearing helmets.
Yeah.
This in the chat line, a program that played for a national championship 5 years ago shouldn't be a bottom three Big 12 team. Yeah, I agree. I agree completely. This in the chat line, we are playing decent except for Iowa State. With the Gus push, we can get some W's.
Do it, baby. I'm fine with that. You know
what?
They need
some Gus up in his seat. Leading some cheers.
Let's get some Gus up in this piece.
Right.
So I got a 17-incher and a rah-rah-rah. Dang right, baby. Bringing the heat tomorrow night. All 17 inches. And just so we're clear, that was a computer monitor that we were talking about. Although, if you want to let your mind wander.
Nope. More Tech Talk next.
Stop, Timmy. You're going to choke.
It's every Red Raider's favorite podcast. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3.
presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Hi, how are you? Good afternoon. It's Tech Talk on Double T 97.3 and Double T 97.3.com with Dr. Mike Gustafson and Clint Scott. I'm Aaron Dickens. We're joining you today until 6. We'd love to hear your thoughts and comments on the Yates Flooring Center chat line at Double T 97.3.com. All guests appear via the Benchmark Hotline. This on the chat line, somebody says, if Tyler Shuck stays healthy all season next year, where would you put him as far as one of the best quarterbacks in the country?
I assume that means going into the season. Well, I don't know. It said go healthy. So,
I mean, I think from a Big 12 perspective, right, if he's healthy all year long, then he's going to be in the conversation for the best in the Big 12.
Yeah. So the question is asking us to predict his level of performance, assuming good health. Yeah. No, I can't argue with that. I mean, I can't argue with that because I feel like
coordinator,
nice surrounding cast around him too. But a couple of extra linemen that should elevate things. Speed guy.
Dre McCray, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, speed guy at receiver. I mean, I think and just him being a year better and healthy and all that stuff, I'm with you. The chance of him being all Big 12 quarterback, I think, is there.
You're going to have a new coordinator and a new quarterback, essentially, at TCU. New quarterback, maybe a new coordinator at Oklahoma State. Alan Bowman likely the quarterback there. I don't know that you're – that concerned about Shapen taking some big giant leap. Will Howard will have to be reckoned with, to be sure, mm-hmm. at Kansas State. Same with Dylan Gabriel.
Your boy in there.
Oh, Jalen Daniels?
Yeah, I was just waiting for it.
Yeah, odd. You're right about that. That's somebody got to consider.
I really, off the top of my head, I think it's the two schools from Kansas and Tyler Shuck, if that scenario plays out as far as my favorite.
I promise I'm not just trolling here. I'm a little bit more down on Daniels than I was initially. I didn't really see any of that magic once he got back.
I think it took him a little bit, and he certainly was not the same as he was through that first 5-game winning streak, but I think against Arkansas, he showed plenty.
Now, I just wonder if he's going to be like a Davis Webb type, where you know, show some really, really good things in the first year when people aren't really expecting it, and then his first full year, and then for Daniels, and then it, like in 2014, he just kind of all fell apart. But Daniels, to be sure, I mean, he's starting, he's more of a threat than a Shapen or anyone like that. And then you got to factor in the newcomers, right? Like, sure. I don't know. Donovan Smith at Houston, if he's the starter. You have, I think, John Reese Plumlee still at UCF, not 100%. Couldn't tell you who the quarterback is at BYU or Cincinnati. Not that I'm that concerned about it. But absolutely, if Tyler Shuck is healthy all season, I think you've upgraded your supporting cast on offense. You haven't really lost, I mean, outside of Strider Thompson.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that you've lost anyone on offense that you're just really
doesn't appear to have a replacement.
Yeah. So we'll see. I mean, and really, like, you're going to be, if not preseason top 25, you're going to be in the fringe, right? And if you beat Oregon in week 2, look out.
Expectations, yes.
Look out.
Yes. And, go get a road win over that is a bowl team in Laramie, and then come back and beat Oregon, and hold on to your hats, folks.
And I'm still holding out hope we'll get a schedule tomorrow.
Yeah, that was exactly what I was about to ask you. How much are you willing to wager on that? Would you? And I'm not sure. I'm probably on the side.
Jambalaya.
Ooh. Hey, guess what stinks all the way down the hall?
$1.
Guess what stinks?
Oh, his food. Yeah.
I mean, the closer, of course, down there is where I go get a little water, a little drinking water and some ice, and then use the restroom down there. It's like, hey, this is great. The closer, what stinks to, That's right.
If this is a cartoon, it would have this, like, cloudy green trail.
This is the guy that does that crap on an airplane, too. Like, really? With the onions and the turd sandwich that you're eating over there.
Hey, do you guys mind if I heat up my cabbage on this airplane?
Exactly. No. Yeah, let me heat it up and cram it into a Tupperware bowl and then unveil it for all to... this is great.
I would like to go back and address that I was wrongly accused a while back when the room smelled awful before we got in there. And then when you guys came in, that was the story you were bouncing off of my lunch, apparently, that I didn't even eat in there. That just destroyed the room. I haven't hung on to that at all, but
wow, I can tell. Man. I barely remember.
I'll never forget January.
Suddenly, I'm very proud of myself for affecting you as much as I clearly did.
You just brought it up like 30 minutes ago.
Huh?
You just brought it up like 30 minutes ago.
Did I? I don't think so.
Yeah, I didn't think he was being specific about it, but I may have missed it.
This on the
it's fine. I'm fine.
Center chat line. I can tell. I'm not mad. On the chat line.
You mad, bro?
Even Kentucky is down this year. We're a young team that has played most of the year without our bigs. We will be fine.
Let's get it.
Kentucky like beat it. A top five team on the road.
Yeah, they did. Again,
by the way,
how about that whole deal? And Coach Calipari like put his hands on Rose's shoulders. You know, it kind of weird, but you could tell he was emotional and all that. And then people went bananas.
And we'll all be really, really big Kentucky fans here in about, I don't know, 2 weeks.
You, let's see, to Kentucky. Oh, yeah. Oh, no. Well, we won't all be.
I'm really looking forward to this Kentucky team.
Yeah, I bet you are.
Yeah, that's one way to break out is just to waltz into Knoxville and do that. Like, that's not bad Tennessee team. They didn't just heat up at home.
That's the power of blue blood, right? Like, if you're Tennessee, you're top five, you're riding high. You've got this down-to-the-dumps Kentucky team rolling in. You're favored to beat them. You're just kind of licking your chops. And then, you know, Big Blue Nation gets right against you. You know, that's the threat of any blue blood. No matter how down Kansas ever is, mm-hmm. if that ever happens, you can't ever be complacent about kicking their teeth in.
Yep,
because they'll just waltz into your place and beat you, just like no big deal. This in the chat line, Kansas State tied us for the conference championship in 2019, was one of the final eight in the tournament that year, I believe, was the last place Big 12 team 2 years ago and second to last in 2022. So it does happen to others. It does. Yes.
Let's do it.
Dylan asks this, what grade do we give Steve Green right now? So, you might call this a cop-out, which is fine. Without knowing specifically what all kind of, you know, role he has, if he's listened to, if he is a significant senior voice on that in that program, on that bench, I couldn't really tell you. I mean, the offense isn't great. The defense isn't great. Nothing about this team is great. Right? And so in that respect, everyone gets an F. You're 0-5. Right? From Mark Adams on down.
It really is hard to separate those things out because it was a closet industry during the Leach era to go, if we just had a defense. Like, well, you know, and so, you know, if you're not having success as a team, it's always been sort of difficult to, especially in a sport as fluid as basketball, hockey, that way to go, well, I blame it all on the defense or I blame it all on the offense. It just doesn't work that way.
It's Clint's fault.
This has been the Tech Talk Podcast, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction. Check out our library of Double T 97.3 podcasts at Double T 97.3.com.